The scripture reading tonight comes from the book of Judith, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Thus Judith called on the God of Israel. When she had finished praying, she got up from the floor, summoned her maid, and went down into the rooms which she used on the Sabbath days and festivals. There she removed the sackcloth she was wearing, and taking off her widow's dress, she washed all over, anointing herself plentifully with perfumes, dressed her hair, wrapped a turban round it, and put on the robe of joy she used to wear when her husband Manasseh was alive. She put sandals on her feet, put on her necklaces, bracelets, rings, earrings, and all her jewelry, and made herself beautiful enough to beguile the eye of any man who saw her. Then she handed her maid a skin of wine and a flask of oil, filled a bag with barley girdle cakes, cakes of dried fruit and pure loaves, and wrapping all these provisions up, gave them to her as well. Then they went out, making for the town gate of Bethulia. There they found Uzziah waiting with the two elders of the town, Chabris and Charmis. When they saw Judith, her face so changed and her clothes so different, they were lost in admiration for her beauty. They said to her, "May the God of our ancestors keep you in his favor. May he crown your designs with success to the glory of the children of Israel, to the greater glory of Jerusalem." Judith worshipped God, and then she said, "Have the town gate opened for me so that I can go out and fulfill all the wishes you expressed to me." They did as she asked and gave orders to the young men to open the gate for her. This done, Judith went out accompanied by her maid, while the men of the town watched her all the way down the mountain and across the valley until they lost sight of her. The word of our Lord.
"Do you think we should do something?" Hank asked from the end of the bar, stool turned so he could lean against the wall. "Like what? What do you mean, do something? You mean for her?" Walter didn't look up from the bar towel he was using to intently wipe the same square foot of real estate in front of him. "Yeah, for her." "You mean like a party?" "I don't know, not like a party, that'd be weird." "Then what?" "You know, just make sure people know she's coming." "People? What people?" "Anybody. Dave and Cindy, Lori, Big Mike and her sister. Just anybody that might like to know." "Barb? You don't think her sister knows?" "How would Barb know? She never leaves her trailer. She's got no phone. I don't think she has a mailbox." "Yeah."
"Yeah, what?"
"Yeah, I think we should tell some people. I think it would be nice when she gets here, if people were here to say, you know, hi and whatever." "Do you think it's really over? Do you think it's really the end? Did she say?" "She just said that she was coming. She didn't say why. I didn't ask her, but come on. Why else would she be coming? You think she really would just come in and close the place down?" Hank said more as a matter of course, knowing that of course she would, that she did not have a choice. The whole town had a date with the bulldozer. Salton Beach is a desert town, 1 square mile, sitting on the shore of Salton Sea, California's largest lake and easily its most troubled. Since the Colorado River that fed it has now been completely cut off, even the agricultural runoff that drained into the sea is diverted to San Diego to feed the expanding condos and strip malls, the Salton Sea is rapidly shrinking. As it does, the playa, the exposed seabed, is eroded by the wind, filling the air with fine particulate dust containing the contaminants from 100 years of farming and ranching runoff. Imperial County already has the highest per capita cases of asthma in the U.S., and it's quickly getting worse, which is why the state of California established the residential exclusion zone, stretching 12 miles in every direction from the original shoreline And they've deemed this area unsafe, saying that long-term exposure would be hazardous to people's health. So through eminent domain, they've condemned all the land, all the towns, all the houses, all the businesses, everything gone. Salton Beach was one of a half dozen Salton Sea resort towns. They ranged from places with high-end hotels and yacht clubs to campgrounds on the sand. Salton Beach was originally built as a working-class resort back in the 50s when all the other places were being put up and people were streaming out of the cities of L.A. and San Diego to the Salton Sea for fishing, water skiing, boat racing, and every other beach vacation activity. Salton Beach was mostly trailer homes and vacation rentals. It was never really intended to be a year-round place. But the floods in 76 and 77 wiped out most of the hotels and nightclubs and put the docks and marinas underwater. Most owners thought it made more sense to take the insurance money than to rebuild. It was once it had a population of 2,000 and now it was under 200. And she owned the only business in town. She merged onto the 10 and set the cruise control for 75. She had not planned to go there in person. She could have called Walter and then had her lawyer follow up with some legal paperwork, something or other. She did call. She called to tell Walter that she was shutting the place down. But when he answered, the words that came out were, "I'm coming out. I'll be there after 7. Okay, sure, great," was exactly what Walter said. She hung up without reply. No goodbye. She hung up the phone, grabbed her toothbrush, a change of clothes, her purse, and shoved them all in her backpack and got in her car and headed out. She hadn't been back to Salton Beach in 7 years, hadn't stepped inside the break-in in that long. Her parents moved from San Bernardino and built it 60 years ago. It started out as the Breakers because it was out by the breakwater. It had a dock so the water skiers and anglers could tie up there and come in and have a beer and a hamburger. But after the floods, they moved it all the way to the other end of town on A Street and changed the name to Salton Beach Inn. But the new name never completely took. People just started calling it the Break-In, which did seem to better reflect the general appearance of the place. The whole town looked like somebody broke in to rob the place and, not finding anything of value, trashed it. After her parents died, Mom from lymphoma and Dad 3 months later from a heart attack, she and her sister inherited it. She was living in Spokane at the time, and even though her sister still lived in Bombay, Salton Beach, her sister wanted nothing to do with the place. So it was all hers, which means she pays the taxes on it and lets Walter and Hank run it like it was their own. She had no idea if it made any money or what it even cost to run. She figures maybe it makes enough for Walter and Hank to have a little more than a subsistence living. But when it closed down, when it shut down, where were they going to go? Where was the whole town full of people going to go? All the people who were down by the Salton Sea either wanted to be off the grid, or a lot of them have fallen off the grid and had no way to get back on it. Most of them didn't own their trailers or homes. So with the buyout and the condemnation, they wouldn't get anything. Most of them didn't even pay rent. It was a squatter situation. So they would have nowhere to go. I think given their choice, most of them probably would have rather stayed there and breathed that air that was hazardous to their health. And a lot of people said it was a conspiracy anyway because they'd sold the rights on that dry land once the sea completely dried up to the geothermal power companies who were going to come in. It wasn't fair. These are the people with nothing. These are the people who had nowhere and nobody but themselves and that place. and it was all being taken. Walter, she remembered, would always say, Salton Beach has every kind of person, black, white, Mexican, Indian, every kind. And Salton Beach has only one kind of person, poor as dirt. She could see the sea out in front of her now and see the little tiny towns dotting the edge of it. It was overwhelming to her. The horizon stretched out, and she could only imagine the air filled with toxins, afraid to breathe. She rolled up the windows. She turned off the air conditioner. It was getting hot. She was feeling nauseous. She was trying to imagine what happens when life ends, when things are taken, when there's nothing, when there's no options, when there's no choice. She found it hard to breathe. She was overwhelmed in a way she had not known before. What are those? Walter asked Hank. They're chicken wings. I know they're chicken wings, but what are they for? I thought I would put some food out for when she comes. Just some wings and some potato salad and some carrot sticks. Yeah, okay, but don't let anybody eat anything until she gets here. Lori and Big Mike came in and sat at their usual places at the bar. Walter put a double vodka in front of Lori and a Pacifico in front of Big Mike. She's not here yet? Lori asked. Not yet. Walter picked up a bar towel and folded it. So she's really coming to sell the place? Big Mike asked. Sell the place? Of course she is. Eminent domain. She has no choice. It's like everyone else. Everybody's got to sell their place. I don't have to sell my place, Big Mike asked. Why is that? Walter asked. I don't own my place. I don't even know who does. I've just been staying there, Lori and I. Hank came out of the kitchen. Yeah, if you got nothing to sell, then you're the one that's being sold out, huh? They all kind of chuckled and then looked a little bit sad. I'm telling you, things are going to change, and we just haven't found out how yet. Cindy and Dave came in and sat down at the bar next to him. Somebody put the Eagles, Take It to the Limit, on the jukebox. And Hank was unsuccessful at keeping the people from the chicken wings and the potato salad, though there were a few carrot sticks left. She pulled off the highway into town. And there it was, the first thing you see, the break-in. She pulled into the parking lot. She sat there, car running. She was trying not to feel. She didn't know. She wanted to put the car in reverse. But she was frozen, sat there. Didn't even turn the car off. Couldn't move. Didn't want to look up. Didn't want to look at the place. Hey, she's here, Hank said, looking out the window. How do you know it's her? Lori asked. I'm looking at her right now. She's in her car. What's she doing? I don't know. Just like sitting there. What do you mean, sitting there? Like, I don't know, like sad sitting there. Is she crying? I don't think so. She sat there purposefully swallowing air. With the air conditioner off, it had to be 100 degrees. Sweat beaded on her forehead. She could feel the dampness under her arms. And she was just overwhelmed by a helplessness, a kind of helplessness that seemed so much bigger than her, so much bigger than anything she could imagine. She couldn't move, didn't want to think. And then the passenger side door opened, and Walter got in, sat down, patted her on the leg. Then Hank opened the back door and got in. And Big Mike and Lori squeezed in. And Dave tried to get in too. And they all sat there, sweating, their bodies touching, sticky, just sitting there together. And that's how they stayed for just a little while.